and sisters in Christ, welcome to Ambassador Baptist Church. We are so happy you've joined us on this another glorious Sunday morning the Lord has given to us. There are some announcements I would like to ask you to pay attention to, please, to mark your calendars. This is an advance notice. Saturday, August 23rd. From 2 o'clock to 3:30 here at Ambassador Church, we are going to celebrate Pastor James' 50th birthday. The congregation is invited for Thanksgiving and Songspiration, and there'll be light refreshments following that service. So please mark that on your calendar, Saturday, August 23rd, from 2 to 3:30. Everyone is invited. This Wednesday night Bible study will be at 7 o'clock in the lower auditorium for the study of the miracles of Jesus. We have just started this study, so now would be a great time if you want to join with us on Wednesday evening. If you'd like to join with us, not in person, but for the studies are at the back on the podium. Please pick one up. This week we're looking at the first miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine, which is found in John 2, verses 1 through 12. This morning, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper during our service. There are communion cups on the tray, again, on the podium. So if you haven't grabbed one on your way in, please feel free to go back there and grab one. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 28, verses 6 through 9. David says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song." So let our hearts leap for joy as we sing our first hymn, "Jesus Shall Reign." Please.
God, our Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for your goodness that you bestow upon us and all of the blessings that you give to us. Lord, we sometimes fail to see your hand at work in our lives, and the blessings that you give to us are from your hand alone. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes open, to see the things that you're doing in our lives and around us. And Lord, we just ask that we continue to remember to be grateful and thankful for all that you give to us. Lord, we just thank you for today and the beauty in your world. We thank you for all of the provision that you provide for us, for the bountiful harvest that we see in our gardens and the flowers that are blooming. Lord, it's just all evidence of your hand, and we thank you for your goodness, your miraculous creation. Lord, we just know that you are in control of all things, and Lord, help us to realize that everything comes from your hand and to be thankful each and every day. Lord, we just thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends, and Lord, we just thank you that you've put us into family units to support one another and into church families to pray for one another. Lord, we just thank you for the connections that we have with one another, and Lord, we just thank you for the blessing that we can be to each other. Lord, we pray for those in our church family that have health issues. Lord, you know each person and you know each need, whether it's spoken or unspoken. And Lord, we just lay those concerns before you. We especially pray for Mary, who is going to be having surgery this Wednesday. We just ask that you be with the doctors as they do the surgery, and just be with Mary and heal her body after the surgery. And Lord, we just remember Jim, who has been in hospital. We just ask for your continued healing on his body. Lord, we don't always know all of the concerns that are happening within our church family, but we do know that you are aware of each one, and we just pray for each person in our church family, for Kathy as she continues to heal, and Lord, for Deborah, for others that, again, we may not be aware of the situation, but Lord, we know that you are, and we just place these concerns before you at this time. Lord, we thank you for our country and our freedom to be able to come and worship here together this morning. Lord, we just thank you for people that you've put in place to lead our country. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. And Lord, we just ask that you will continue to bless our country as we work through conflicts and difficulties with other countries, Lord, you have a plan for this world. And Lord, we just look to you as you are in control. And we just ask you to give us peace and not worry about things, because we know that if we are believers in you and you are our Lord and Savior, that we have a hope of eternal life when we pass. So, Lord, we just know that that's a promise that's so valuable, and that only was available because you paid the price on Calvary for our sin. So, Lord, we thank you for your great sacrifice. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that are in other countries, and we just ask that you protect them, keep them safe as they minister in your name, and, Lord, help them to be effective in reaching people that maybe haven't even heard the gospel message before. So, Lord, we just ask that you be with them as they serve you in places that we can't do that. So, Lord, we just know that they've given their lives, and we pray for our partners in ministry with the CBM, Canadian Baptist Ministries, and, Lord, we just ask that you watch over them as they serve you in faraway countries. So, Lord, we just ask all those things. Lord, we just thank you for today and the ability to be here today. And Lord, we just ask for your continued presence here as we worship you. Speak to us through this songs and the words and through the scripture that's read, Lord. Speak to us through Pastor James and the message that you've laid on his heart. And Lord, just help us to be refreshed for our time here together as we worship as one body, serving you in this community. Lord, we just thank you for our community, and we just ask that you continue to give us opportunities to reach out and share your love in tangible ways in this West Windsor area. So, Lord, we thank you for all of the goodness that you give to us and the abundance of things that we can share with others. Just prompt our hearts and help us to see the opportunities that you lay before us so that individually and as a church family, we can be your ministers in Christ. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Readings are taken from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Our first scripture passage is from Proverbs 19, verse 17. Again, that's Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Now, if you can turn over to Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Thanks be to God for his word.
Say good morning to each and every one of us today. We are blessed with a good weather, but then also we were told that today, is it the quality of the air or something like that? It's going to be on 77%, which means we have like 23% off. So if it's possible, where it's okay, then we're encouraged to stay more indoors today. Well, but then if you have something you really need to get done, still get it done. Walk by faith and not by sight. Not risk yourself, though. Walk by faith and not by sight. So having said that, I will be inviting you to join me today at Sandwich First Baptist Church. By 4 o'clock today, there will be a gospel festival, and I'll be part of those who will be singing. Amen. So as many of us who can make it out, please join me there as I join a couple of people to sing. So I'm going to be joining a group that will be singing to do some rendition. Then I will be taking 3 different rendition myself. So thank you for those who will be able, thank you in advance, for those who will be able to make it out. No problem. This morning, we said this season we'll be talking on the subject of giving. And sincerely, like I said when I started talking about this, that the subject of giving is not something most of the time most resident ministers want to talk about. And then the second thing about giving is that it's not a new subject. So which means that whatever will be said would not be something you have not heard. It will be more of a reminder with a mind that somehow God will help reawaken in us how we approach the different aspects of giving that we're talking about. 2, that for some of us, God will bath in us fresh conviction as to those aspects of giving and why we should make sure they are a part of the giving culture that we'll embrace. So today we'll be taking something that I know as much as possible that as a church we are sold out to. And that's giving to the needy. So that's the aspect of giving that we'll try to explore and remind ourselves about today. So, one of the wonderful, very little scripture in the Old Testament that speaks to these with such level of precision is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. And in the simplicity of the writer, it says, this wealth of revelation whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Some translation says, for his good deeds. Some translation says, whoever loans to the Lord. So, the subject of giving, as it has to do with the needy, is what is also described as alms given. That the subject or the issue of almsgiving has something and especially to do with money. in one aspect, helping the poor. But it also has to do with giving out or donating our time, services, and all the resources, whether it's our skill, our intellect, something that we are able to do in order to help those who are facing at the moment life's challenges. Those who, some will say, are running low on their luck. But then, I don't believe in luck. No problem. I believe in God's blessings. I believe in God's blessedness. Because luck has to do with chance. The blessedness of God has to do with who He is. And God is always faithful. And He's always working together for our good in all circumstances. Does that mean that things don't go down sometimes compared to what we calculate, compared to what we expect, compared to what we envision? Sometimes that happens. Life comes with diverse challenges at different phases. So the writer of Proverbs tells us that having such opportunity to be generous to those in need, assisting such people, we lend to God. This is one of the most profound understanding of charity, which exists and does still exist in most Jewish culture and understanding. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament, many times that is being talked about for almsgiving, is what you call tzedakah. It's actually just saying charity. In some part of the western part of Nigeria, they will say the same word. They say sadaka. All still saying the same thing. And they sound the same way. It talks about charity in the spirit of uprightness or justice. In fact, in some of the Old Testament reference to this, it is also interchangeably used or translated as righteousness. So, for those who have Jewish understanding of the Old Testament scripture, they take it that giving alms, therefore, is a righteous act. It's a show of the righteousness you have within for them. And that is what you are expressing in the action you do without. But in the New Testament, the word used for alms is different. Now I'm going to try and see how to pronounce that. It's E-L-E-E-M-S-Y-N-E in transliteration. So that is Elimonsine or Elimonsin. And that originally means mercy or kindness. Then it came to ultimately represent kind deeds caused by inner mercy and a heart of kindness. Alms are gifts of love to help people in trouble who are facing life's challenges. In essence, God has positioned you and I when He gives us resources that one way or the other, based on what He has given to us, that people come into our lives or we come in contact with people that we might and should or can be able to still share something. Interestingly, God does not expect you and I to share or to give to others beyond what we have. Because God will never ever demand from us what we don't have. That will be cruel of Him. And so, there are times that you have more than enough. At such times, it's actually easier to be generous. How many of us agree with me? But times where you have barely enough becomes more difficult. It's like you need the Holy Spirit to kind of pinch you for you to be sensitive to the needs of others. The reason is because you yourself have what? Barely enough. And you know the interesting thing? God understands. But then He still, as His sons and daughters would still want us to do what? To still share. So let me give a fictitious example. So, if I have meal that can take me 3 triangular meals for that matter, morning, afternoon, and night, and there's somebody who doesn't even have a meal for the day. So what I have is just barely enough. But then if I come across somebody who doesn't have anything to eat for the day, something should still touch me and say, James, in Nigeria, we used to have some mathematics. We call that 1-1-1. And this person has 0-0-0. So you have 1-1-1. So we say, okay, why not choose whether you are going to do 0-1-1 so that this person can at least have 0-1-0. At least when the person skips the morning meal and eats the afternoon, that may carry into the evening. And then you can still have 2. Or you could say, okay, let me do 1/2 or 0.5/1. Or 0.1/2. So that this person can have something. That will be difficult. It will be sacrificial, but it's okay. Why? I'm not going to die, and I'm able to help somebody so that at least that person can go by for that day. Because that's as much as I can do. And that's what God is saying and is expecting from us. In fact, interestingly, how many of us take out time to fast? Not always, occasionally. So, how many of us? Can I get a wave? If you take out time to fast occasionally, just wave it well so that we can encourage people who may not be doing that exercise. Because it's not just spiritual, it's also medically advised that we should do some, whether it's intermittent or whatever name they call it, do some fast. Isaiah, when God was speaking to him to speak to the people, he said, you are proud and you are glad and you feel okay when you fast. Then he described just one item from that I want to pick. He said, this is the fast that I expect from you. What is it? That when you fast, what you should have eaten that you didn't eat, what do you do? Give it to somebody who is hungry. That person is not trying to fast. That person is battling with hunger. So he said, when you have taken it upon yourself that you will fast, then ask yourself, what can I do with this meal? Can I help somebody who is hungry, who maybe had not had meals for 2 days, with this one that I am sacrificing either for my health or for my spiritual
discipline. And so that's as much as, you know, trying to give to the needy, God would encourage us further. So, what does the writer of Proverbs mean? It means that one, giving to the needy is an act of worship. Two, it is an act of stewardship. Three, it's an obedience to God's kind of instruction, even when it doesn't explicitly look like that. It's an act of discipleship. If I am a child of God, I'm a son of God, a follower of Jesus, because we'll get into the New Testament, we'll get to see this. It's also an act of love. Because if it does not come from the place of love, then it's not worth it. But the God who loves prompts us to give as he gave. It's also an act of grace, that we are extending the grace of God, which he has meted to us, towards other people, in ministering to them in the season when life seems unfair, or where life seems unbearable. It's an act of generosity. And so we are able to do this, to minister to others around us. If you remember in the book of Acts chapter 10, so you could write that down. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. When Peter was going to get to Cornelius, when the angel was going to appear before him, the angel said, "Your almsgiving and your prayers have come before God as what? A memorial. A sweet-smelling savor. A sweet-smelling sacrifice. A good reminder. Your prayer and your almsgiving, both together, have come before God, and I have been sent to you." That means when we reach out to the needy, when we are a blessing to those that at this season, life, or whatever season we meet them, life seems not to be kind to us, we are able to raise before God sweet memorials. Why? Because he says, whoever gives to the poor loans to God or lends to God. So that will bring me to a junction to ask a question. Have you ever loaned anyone, make it easier, money? Have you ever? Anybody here? Have you ever loaned anyone money? Just wave. I love that. Oh, thank you. That must have been very helpful, I'm sure. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I need you to, you can nod, you could answer, you know, whichever way. So have you ever given a loan to someone, to a borrower that seemed to have genuinely forgotten to pay you back? If you have ever, can you just wave, let me know? Okay, good. I'm seeing some people nodding. Genuinely, you could feel it. They genuinely forgot. But have you also given to borrowed people or lend or given a loan to people that you know, from everything you saw later, they never intended to repay the loan? Have you ever seen such people? Good. So, have you ever met with people that you gave loan, but somehow, by the time they had promised, it was difficult for them to repay? Not because they don't want to repay. Genuinely, they want to repay, but the means somehow, life just happened. Has it happened before? Good. Have you ever met with people who you gave them loan, they were as gentle as a lamb. But when it came to repayment, they became a tiger. Amen. Suddenly, he said, you don't know me. I will show you my true color. Ah, I didn't know you had two colors. Is it one or two or how many? Oh, there's a true color. So the one I saw when you needed the loan was the fake one. So you now want to show the true color. But have you met with people that it was a battle? You literally needed to use extra force until you got your money from them. Because you never wanted to leave it just to help them know that it's not right. Has that ever happened before? Okay. Now, finally, have you met with people who it's like you enjoyed that you gave them a loan? They just made it easy. No reminder. They just kept to the terms of the agreement. And you just felt, when next you need something, just let me know. I'll be willing to lend you again. Is that not wonderful? Those kind of people make you not to step into extra prayer program. But there are people you start praying from the moment you give them the loan, you start praying, Lord, Heavenly Father, touch him. Lord, provide. Let it be. Because you don't want to get to the time because you just had to, but you know from previous experience, it's not a good borrower. But you see the interesting thing. God is much more truer and faithful to his promise. God can be said to be the best borrower because he doesn't pay just on time. He pays in full on time and he puts some extra bonuses on it. So that would be an incentive. He never owes anyone, and he has never owed before. So, when the writer of Proverbs was writing, and he says, when you give to the poor is the recipient. He said, but you are lending to God. So, the giving that you and I do, meeting and being a blessing to someone in need, even from the Old Testament times, we are told it is towards God. Fast forward into the New Testament, Matthew 25, Jesus was speaking and he gave this proverb, this analogy, this parable. And he talked about a king. And the king had returned and he says, okay, you guys on the left, you have not been good. You have been terrible set of people. So, this. But then to the people on his right, what did he say? He speaks to them and he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. It talks about the reward that he was given to them. And they were wondering how, why they deserve, or why is it that such reward is coming from the one who is the king? And he said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And he said the people wondered, when? How? We never saw you. We never met you. We were just doing and living life. If we had met with you, sir, we would remember. And in the midst of such level of confusion, he says, no. As long as you did it to the least of this one, the nobodies, those that you're not expecting something in return from, if you did it for them, you are doing it to me. How does that sound? Just like Proverbs 19:17. He who gives to the poor, the needy, lends to who? God. And here is God in the flesh giving that analogy to help people, you and I, those who are there and those of us today, to understand that God wants us to be his hands, his feet, his leg, his heart, to reach out to people in and around us. And what's the ministry? The ministry he wants us to reach out about. Oh, that are important. When it comes to food, when it comes to water, when it comes to shelter, hospitality, when it comes to clothing, when it comes to hospital visitations and ministry, when it comes to visit to the prison, touching those whose lives have been locked up somewhere, some out of wrong choices, some out of situational or circumstantial issues that in the real sense they were innocent, but then life caught up. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter for the reason why they were locked in. What Jesus wants you and I is to be his ministering presence and his ministering people to such people. That means there are people who are unable to eat or feed as much as they would want. And somehow God may bring some your way, may bring some my way, may bring some our way. And he just wants us to be sensitive enough to see that it's an opportunity for us to be a blessing. And I bless God for our life as a church. We do our little food bank thing as a way to mitigate that and just be a blessing the little we can. But that doesn't mean that's the only thing or the only ways that we might be able to do. Because there might be people out there that God will bring your way who are not necessarily connected to us in such a way to be at the food bank here. Sometimes you find yourself on the road, you find yourself in places, and somebody's saying, please, I am hungry. Could I get a sandwich? Could I do something? And you know, sometimes, humanly speaking, especially when you look at such a person and everything you are seeing doesn't add up, you are easily tempted to say, could you go and get a work? Or perchance at that moment, the person is taking something, smoke, whatever. And you say, if you had money to take a smoke, don't you, why can't you get food? That means the smoke is more important to you than the food. That's good. You're saying something as real as it is. But then I would rather say, if you have some money to spare, what do? And you have time, money and time, those two. Say, let's go up there. And you take the person to an eatery and say, give him. Because sometimes when you give such money, you know where it will end up. And if it's a serious one, he'll go along and he would take the food. If it's the one that's looking for the money for something else, he's going to say, no, just give me the money anyway. Then, no, I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to encourage your drug abuse or whatever. No. If you said you are hungry, I need you to get food, and that's what I'm going to do. Can we solve the shelter problem, homelessness all around? We may not be able to. But you can, in one way or the other, partner and support the ministries that are doing that. So that you and I, we can be with others. That or those group of people would take care of the strangers. Can we all visit the hospital? You may not be able to take it up as a ministry, but then when you know there are people who are in the hospital and you can and they also consent, could you pay them a visit? Be an encouragement to them. Let's not be too busy with our lives that we don't care about others. You know the interesting thing? When the chips are down, many of the other things that we carry or prioritize will not matter again. It's the kind of blessings that we were, the relationships that we invested into, that will ultimately become that which will be a blessing to our lives. And in this case, Jesus says, "You're doing it for me." How is it that you can take out time if you have those clothes sitting up there? You know, some people have some wardrobe. The wardrobes are wonderful. They are a room on their own. Some of the clothing there have never been worn for 2 years. I think the clothes are speaking. If you are not wearing me, give me out. It's okay to have a lot of it. It's not a sin. I hope you understand. It's not a sin. But when you have not put them on for years, it simply means you don't need it. But somebody else needs it more. It's a need. For you, it's a want. There are some shoes that you have, and the shoes have refused that you should wear them. One, 2 years, the shoe is advising you, give me out to somebody who needs it. God wants us to be concerned about people's nakedness. When I say nakedness, I'm not talking of people who deliberately go, you understand. People who really need clothes or clothing. God wants that which you have that can be a blessing to somebody else, that could be an answer to their prayers. He wants you to clear the wardrobe, clear the shoe rack, and just put them out there and bless somebody. And Jesus says, when you do that, you're doing it for me. You know how exciting if that becomes more real to us, just to know that, oh, I'm going to hand out some shoes today. I'm giving it to Jesus. I say, but is ladies true? He's just simply saying, see Christ, see me in those people and choose to be my presence to them as well. He says, so I'm naked, you clothed me. I'm sick, you took out time. I was in prison, you took out time to minister to me. This morning, myself and Kevin were just in the midst of our discussion, we're talking about how life treats people who sometimes are marked convict or ex-convict or all these things. Especially in situations where people don't, they go through life and stuff that they did not even plan for. And they never really did stuff like that. Well, it's so easy to judge. But Jesus says, those who are, their freedom is taken from them, those whose life have been turned apart like that. You, my disciples, be my presence to such. I was in prison and you visited me. How loving would that be? Yes, not every one of us wants to go. I remember so many years ago when I used to do prison ministry in Nigeria and we go. I remember somebody would say, I reject it. I would never go behind the bars in the name of Jesus. I said, no, we are just going to visit those in there. When we say we are going to prison, we didn't say we are going to be locked up in prison. We are going there to minister to people there. And, you know, wonderfully, when we get to such places, you see people in prison praising God. You know, in Africa, we love vibrant worship. These people will be dancing and they're praising God and say, Lord, my God, in prison. And those who are outside don't even appreciate their freedom. And if we don't go and visit them, how can we preach? How can we help some to come to Jesus? Because if the world has condemned them, and those of us who say we are Christians, we also condemn them, then we have not done well. So what are we saying? We lend to God when we give to the needy. Jesus says, you are ministering to me. And he says, for that, there is reward. There is inheritance. There are things prepared. How specific it is, I don't know. There are benefits. The one who has said it walks in all things for our good. And so he's not going to say something or he's not going to do something that is of lesser quality. His blessings upon those who give is always true and it's real. And in this case, it is dear to his heart how we treat people who seem to be going through the challenges of life. And so Jesus, throughout his ministry, ministered to the oppressed, stood by those and defended those who are oppressed by the society, those who are castigated, those who are relegated, those who were treated as outcasts. Jesus ministered to them. And for all of us, humanity, we were outcasted before God. Why? Because of our sins. And Jesus stepped out of the heavens and came for us. Today, as we come to the communion table, I want us to have a reminder in our spirit. What is that reminder? The reminder that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, blesses our lives. He has saved us. He has delivered us not to live to condemn others, but to live to be a blessing to others. God has blessed us and he will keep blessing us with resources, not just to deal with our own life's challenges alone or minister to our personal needs alone, but to find ways in the midst of all that we do to ourselves and for our families and for the church to be able to be Christ's presence to others in giving alms, strengthening people, raising those who are down up. Do you know what? Sometimes that little blessing may be all the witness of Christ that somebody needs to totally appreciate the love of God. Because when life throws you down at such worst moment, there is nothing as helpful and as practically spoken as giving an assistance that is not just a luxury, but a need met timely and comes graciously and generously. And so as we go to the communion table today, we will learn to say, Christ, I want to be like you. Help me to have a heart like you that is easier for me to minister to those who I need that you bring across my life. And so that each day when I step out, I'm able to say, Lord,
Open my eyes to know those who are naked today, that I might be a blessing. Those who are sick, that I may need to be the one to minister to. Is there someone in prison that my life can touch? Is there someone who is hungry that I can be a blessing to? Is there someone who is a stranger that I can show the hospitality of Christ to? In whatever ways you want me to serve today, help me. And so as we come to the communion table, we're reminding ourselves, and our prayer is the heart of Christ, that that heart be reborn in us anew. And in our life, we will be a living testimony of being a blessing to those in need. The Bible tells us on the same night that Jesus was taken before his crucifixion, he took the bread and he said to his disciples, "This is my body which is broken, and as he blessed it, he broke it and he gave it to them." And the Bible says in Isaiah, said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. All these things took place on his body. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, everything that we're seeing, all are taking place on his body. By his stripes we are healed. And then the Bible says, in the same vein, he took the cup. And when he took the cup, what did he say? He blessed it, because it was the fruit of the vine. Wine from the fruit of the vine. And when he blessed the cup, he gave it to them. And he said, "This is the new testament in my blood, the new covenant, which is for the remission of sins." The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so the blood of Christ, symbolized by the cup that we have, the wine that we have, the juice, is to remind us that we never did anything in the real sense to merit his death for us. And so in the newness of life that we have because of his blood, we live to keep bringing glory to him till we leave this earth. And Paul the Apostle calls it the cup of the blessing, because it is the blessing of God reignited and reemphasized so that we know. As we partake today, may his heart of kindness, may his heart of generosity and graciousness be reawakened within us, that it will be impossible for us, when we can, to see needs and look away, but to seek ways by his mercy to be a blessing to people. So as we take the bread and as we take the cup, we bless you today in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as we partake, we are blessed. Amen. Just want you to take a few seconds, bow down your heads, and say a word of prayer. In reflection of the words you have heard today, and in reflection of the opportunity to come to partake at the Lord's table, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be partakers of your cup and of the bread, your body. We ask, O God, even as we go, in the spirit of your word, help us to embody you to our world to embody you to those in need. And Lord, supply our resources, supply our needs, minister to us so that we have more than enough to be able to give out, to be a blessing to others that are facing lives, unfair situations at the moments that we find such. Thank you, because we know this and much more you will help us to do through your Holy Spirit. Amen.